Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Greetings, travelers! Yes, it's time for another fun mini-sode. And this one is interesting because I want to talk about the anniversary that just happened of a famous crash. And it's a UFO crash. And there's a lot of story to it, but it's kind of interesting. And a lot of people don't talk about it. So when you hear the term UFO crash, everybody goes to Roswell. You might get Flatwoods, you might get Kecksburg, we're doing an episode on that. You might get a few others, but this one almost never comes up because it's so early. So we think of Roswell, 1947, but go 50 years before that. So we're going to get in the Wayback Machine to April 17th, 1897. That's when the newspaper article came out. It probably happened a day or so before, but they reported it as though it happened that day. And that was out of Aurora, Texas. And this newspaper article was in the Dallas Morning News of Texas. The story is pretty wild. For those that know it, hey, stick around because after the break, I'm going to get into a weird connection that not a lot of people have made. So picture yourself in this time. So 1896, 1897, it's post-Civil War. We're getting to the turn of the century. And there are dozens of reports of strange cigar-shaped airships all over the country. They're not using the term UFOs yet or flying saucers. And they were airships. They'd heard of blimps and hot air balloons and all that. But even then, they weren't very common. And the sightings were primarily in California, but some were heading east. Basically, this article appeared on April 17th, but it was probably about 2 days earlier. This one guy named S.E. Hayden in the newspaper article claimed that an airship crashed into Judge J.S. Proctor's windmill in Aurora, Texas. Okay, so this is what the quote from the article is. The early risers of Aurora were astonished at the sudden appearance of the airship, which had been sailing through the country. Evidently, some of the machinery was out of order, for it was making a speed of only 10 or 12 miles an hour and gradually settling towards the earth. It sailed over the public square, and when it reached the north part of town, it collided with Judge Proctor's windmill. It went to pieces with a terrific explosion, scattering debris over several acres of ground. It wrecked the windmill and the water tank, and it destroyed the judge's flower garden. Now, he also said there was a pilot who was a corpse, and while his remains were, quote, badly disfigured enough, the original has been picked up to show that he was not an inhabitant of this world. What? Oh my goodness. This is 1897. They didn't really talk about this much back then. Now, H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds was out around this time, and Jules Verne, of course, Earth to the Moon stuff, but this is not something that was common, and let alone in a newspaper. Now, according to the article, there were papers written in a strange form of hieroglyphics discovered near the body, and the ship was built of an unknown metal, somewhat resembling aluminum and silver, and it must have weighed several tons. People from all over Aurora supposedly came and surrounded the countryside looking at the debris, and then they held a funeral for the dead pilot the next day. The dead pilot, they named him Ned and buried him in Aurora, Texas. Now, when you hear this, you cannot dismiss the similarities to modern UFO cases. And this basically was forgotten for a long time. And it didn't really come back till the 1970s. What it was a reporter named Jim Maris. He interviewed, at that point, 83-year-old Charlie Stevens, who was at first reluctant to just talk about it, but finally said when he was a 10-year-old boy that April morning, he and his dad were working the cattle when they spotted that cigar-shaped craft passing low overhead with a bright light. And they watched it move towards Aurora, then heard the explosion, and then they saw fire in the sky. He's like, I wanted to go see immediately what happened, but Daddy said we had to finish our chores. So they rode into town the next day and viewed the airship debris. And he visited the cemetery for the funeral. Now, 1973, Jim Maris goes to that cemetery and believes he saw the pilot's grave, which was marked by a crude rock headstone that had been half broken. Now, on the remaining half was a design, one end of a saucer-shaped structure carved into the rock with small circles that might have been portholes. Now, the grave itself wasn't full size, and so either belonged to a child or a very small person. He had another journalist come out and use a metal detector, and they realized it contains three large pieces of metal. When he returned to the gravesite later, there was no signal when he used his own metal detector. And a metal pipe had been inserted into ground. So someone pulled some stuff out of it. And later in the 1970s, the grave marker was stolen. So the exact location has been lost. Ground penetrating radar recently was used to discover an unmarked grave in the area where they thought it was. Now, the Aurora Cemetery Association has refused to allow anybody to dig up that grave. No one can exhume it because there's a law in Texas that the next of kin has to allow anybody to be exhumed. There aren't a lot of next of kin for poor Ned, at least that we know of. So that's why it's still there. So was it a crash of a UFO? Was it some sort of interdimensional visitor? That's what I like to think. Maybe it was a late April Fool's because it was April. But we have another theory. This actually comes from a 2004 book from Michael Busby. His is pretty well researched. It's called Solving the 1897 Airship Mystery. He has a good theory, and we're going to talk about that after the break, and I'll put the link to the book in the show notes. So let's just give us a moment here.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
And we're back. So was it a bird? Was it a plane? Who knows what it could have been? And there were all these dramatic incidents of aeroships all over the world, particularly California and Texas. So what we're going to talk about now is something interesting that came about. And this character from history is wild. And his story is almost as crazy as the Aurora crash. So what if that crash was from a device built by a secret society? So yes, we are going down a rabbit hole here. The Wayback Machine is going to do a lot of traveling here. First time, somewhere in the mid-60s, this person is walking through town and he discovers a building on fire or just finished fire. And he basically sees near the place of the fire, a stack of books Now, what are these books? They're art. They're designs. He doesn't really know what these are. He starts taking them into his house and he stores them away. Then he decides, this is interesting. A little while later, these books were just on a curb and they're filled with all these weird double-sided watercolors. But in 1969, he puts them in his shop. He's an antiques dealer. This lady named Mary Jane Victor, who's an art history student, she's in his shop and she's looking at these weird drawings. Now, she was a student at University of St. Thomas in Houston, and she tells her mentor, who is Dominique de Mineral, about these books. And now he comes in and he wants to buy the books. He's going to buy the first four. The junk dealer says, I know these are valuable. So Mineral pays $1,500, which is a huge amount for 1969, for those four books. And then he displays them at Rice University in Houston. Now, Pete Navarro, who is a UFO writer at the time, he saw the exhibition, became intrigued, and he goes back to that junk dealer, finds out that's where they came from, and bought the remaining notebooks. And he studies them for over a decade. And he discovers that these drawings were made by a man named Charles August Albert Delescal. That man had died in 1923. But he started researching him, found out he was born June of 1830 in Prussia, and he dies April 1923 in Texas. So he was of Prussian birth. He was a butcher. He had three children. He also had a stepdaughter from one of his marriages. He worked in his stepdaughter's saddle shop. He retired in 1899 and basically becomes a self-taught artist. And he fills these notebooks with drawings, watercolor paintings, and collages. And they're all depicting airships. Lots of crazy airships. His diary basically is dated 1899 and it goes through 1922. And so that's 21 years as an artist. And he says in his diary that he's documenting the Sonora Aero Club, of which he was supposedly a member. What this club was were flight enthusiasts in the mid-19th century. And one of their members supposedly had discovered a substance called NB gas. And now this NB gas is interesting. So at some point, mid-1850s, he's in Texas. He travels to California, gold rush country, right? In that town of Sonora, he serves as their draftsman of these airship builders. And these are all designed. And it was composed of, his list is men with Germanic names, basically just immigrants like him. And they apparently met at this saloon. One man becomes the leader, and his name's Peter Menis, M-E-N-N-I-S. He's a miner, and he is a drunk and a genius, though, according to this. He discovers this miraculous lifting fluid, the NB gas, that allows all their ships to fly and float. And Menis calls this material soup, S-U-P-E, like super. Basically, it replaced hydrogen, and drops of it could be dropped onto these rotating metal plates called the electronaud, and results in a gas that fills the airship's envelopes to provide lift. And they were basically driving around in souped-up hot air balloons. Basically, they were just really having fun and flying around with this stuff. But some people say this is all fake. But he said it was a secret society and had a strict cone of silence. He talks about at one point an airship pilot was suspected of taking payment for transporting cargo, and the club basically kills him in retaliation by crashing his plane. There are members being forbidden to build the ships they had designed because they were sharing too much information with people outside the club to make the parts. There's one report in his notes of a noisy boarding house owner who tried to eavesdrop on one of their meetings and got stranded on a cliff for snooping. When the ships were built, they were disguised as wagons, so no one would think anything untoward of them. This is crazy. And he didn't even, as this goes on, he seems uncomfortable writing about this. Now, if this is somebody faking this, why would you write it this way? Now, this other guy, Navarro, who'd been researching it, says he thinks there's a code in there. And he starts realizing there's a lot of Greek characters in it. And he thinks somehow this is the organization that financed them or something. The Sonora Aero Club, their document says that there's a secret phrase, NYMZA, N-Y-M-Z-A. It's an acronym of some sort. No one really knows what it stands for. Others suggest that this is World War I now, so they're trying to be more safe and secret. So maybe that's why they were doing it. This all ends suddenly as the golden era of aviation starts coming. You know, it's World War I now, dogfights, all this stuff. What happens? happens, according to the notes, is that in 1860, Peter Menes died in a crash. And so the lifting fluid secret died with him, and they could not recreate the substance. And so they all just kind of disappeared. That's when he just got married again, moved to Texas, and that's that. But if you put two and two together from our first half, he would have been somewhere near Aurora, Texas at that time. And the crash could have been something to do with the Sonora Aero Club. Now, again, it's a tenuous link at best, but more than a few people have put these together just like I have. So I found out I wasn't the only one who stumbled on this connection. Interesting stuff, right? I'll put the links to Charles's book. Either way, he's a fantastic artist. You got to look at some of these pictures. They are up there. I'll put them in the show notes. The Aurora crash, who knows? I'd love to dig it up and find Ned. We got to wait for his family to say it's okay. So wild and weird. You got to love this stuff. That's why we do what we do. So your travels for this, go visit Aurora, Texas, and go visit that cemetery, or go to your local library or order this book, or your local friendly bookstore. They can probably get it for you too. Man, what a fun ride. Thank you, patrons, for putting up with this. Happy anniversary, Ned. We're excited to bring you more of these stories. Thank you, listeners. As always, please keep tuning in. And when you're out there traveling those lonely roads, keep your eye in the sky. Keep watching for any strange and unusual activity. And if you see a saucer or a cigar and then it crashes, tell Ned we said hi, and we'll see you on the other side.